So somebody had tweeted out something which was like, hey, if you needed a side hustle that was going to generate like 3K to 5K a month, and you could only kind of work like, let's say like, a couple hours in during the week and half a day on the weekends or something like that, what would you do to do that if you didn't know how to code?
Are we good?
I'm a whole different guy, Sampar. You're looking at a man 4 days in to clean eating. And guess
Wait, are
what?
you
Now I'm on time. Guess what? Now my kids love me. Guess what? The stocks went up today for the first time in like 5 months. So a lot of things are going well here.
What are you eating?
I'm just like, I don't know if this is healthy or not, but I'm very heavy meat and protein right now and just like nothing bad and not eating late, not doing bad stuff.
Dude, listen to this thing that I'm doing. It's called My Body Tutor. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of this. Is it like a text messaging thing? Somebody
It's
like.
way more primitive than that. So basically, I pay them either $600 or $700 a month. I don't remember if it's $599 or $699. And this woman named Heather, she's like my coach, she just calls me every single morning and I have to tell her what I ate, what I'm gonna eat today. And then she tell and then I write down on my Fitness Pal what I've eaten the day before, and she'll say, yesterday was bad or good. Here's why. Tell me what you're gonna eat today. That's all it is. It's a 5 minute phone call. And it's amazing. It's you should try this. It's actually
I
quite
should
good.
try this. The fact that I don't want to try this tells me that I absolutely should try this. So I think I might. I think I might do it because, I don't know. It's I'm I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what's embarrassing. What's embarrassing was that a day and a half into just eating clean and just not like, oh, my daughter's leftover macaroni and cheese. All right, let me just eat these 3 spoons before I put it in the sink. Or like, oh, there's a free cookie here at this thing. Let me just grab that. A day and a half in, I felt a difference, which tells me how poorly I had been eating if I could feel a difference just from a day and a half of eating perfectly right.
What do you eat normally that's bad? Like, are you talking about like process? Does clean mean
Just
just like
like,
no sugar and not processed?
no sugar, not processed, not like late night snacking or whatever, like just cutting it off at a certain time. And then not like, okay, I've been like, what'll happen to me sometimes is I'll be like, oh, I'm working. I got calls. I got the pod. I got all this stuff going on. I'm excited. I look up, it's 2 p.m. I haven't eaten anything. And I'm like, all right, the next edible item in sight is just getting like devoured, right? It's like a stress
Getting
eat at that
got.
point. Yeah, it's getting got. Oh, you thought this party size of Doritos was for a party? No, it's getting got right now. And so you ever heard of someone doing a line of Oreos? It's when you get the Oreo tray and it's got like 3 columns and you do a whole line. You just take a whole column out in one sitting. That's something that would happen before, just on a
I'm
inconsistent but
down, man,
consistent
with
basis.
that. I like to do Oreo cereal. You just get a gallon of milk and a sleeve of Oreos and just go to town. So I'm on board with you, man. I like all that stuff too, but you just can't do it.
Yeah, I can't do it. All right, so we got a bunch of stuff. Let's do some of these topics. I don't know where you want to start. Actually, I just see my topics. I don't see yours. Do you have any?
I had a few. We went through a lot of them the other day, but well, one thing that is
The
quick.
classic. We went through a lot of them the other day.
No,
The
I'm usually really prepared. But did you
classic.
see that Conan O'Brien's thing got acquired? Team Coco?
Yeah, you texted this. So what is it? So he has a podcast network, or is just his one podcast?
It's a podcast network, but I think he's the heavy hitter.
Yeah.
And it
For like
sold what it's
160 million or something, you said, right? Like a pretty
150
decent
to
number.
200. I forget the number, but they have 16 million downloads a month. We have
Oh,
two
MFM
or three
sized.
million. Yeah, we have. We have 2 or 3 million a month. So what does that put us worth? And ours is a business. Like it's the people listening, you guys are richer than like Conan O'Brien's audience.
Yeah. And we're way better looking and way more funny. So, if you just take his multiple and you say, all right, divide by 8, we don't do public math. So that's unfortunately just the problem. We're not going to know how much we're worth because we go into public math and moving on to the next topic.
I think that's
Who
$20 million.
Who bought it, by the way?
Sirius.
Sirius bought it. Okay, so he's going to like go exclusively to them?
Yeah, but honestly, I'm going to call our shot a little bit. I don't think that it's going to be that crazy that in a year or two, we get paid like 10 or 20 million a year to license out to Spotify or something like that.
I would enjoy that. Crazy? That sounds a little crazy. 10 or 20 million, I think, sounds a little crazy. But then again, like, it sounded crazy that, you know, like, for example, The Ringer, when they got bought by Spotify. So they were a sports network of podcasts led by Bill Simmons. So Bill Simmons was sort of like the Conan O'Brien of that network. And they got bought, I think, for $200 million. And what's crazy is it's not even exclusive to Spotify, which is just like wild to me that that's how favorable these deals are. In the same way that Joe Rogan, when he got paid by Spotify, he had to take it off of YouTube, but he's still on Apple Podcasts, which is pretty crazy. So when The Ringer sold to Spotify, $200 million, I think they were doing about $15 million in revenue when they got bought for $200 million.
Crazy. That is absolutely crazy. And was it only one podcast? Or no, they actually had a bunch more, don't they?
It was like, 12 maybe or something like that. But
they've
like,
got a few winners.
It's like three winners. And then like it's like one big winner, two small winners, and then a bunch of like long tail stuff that kind of doesn't matter. In terms of like how big it is. But also I think for them, you know, the thing is it's not like they were bought for a revenue multiple. It's not like Spotify was like, you know what, we're going to buy this revenue multiple because, you know, that's going to get priced at a favorable rate in the market here. It was just like, we need to strategically move into podcasting. Okay. Go get Rogan, go get The Ringer, go get the one that got bought. That's like up our alley is that startup one, Gimlet. So they bought Gimlet. Yeah. Also for a lot of money. They bought Anchor, that podcasting tool that sucked. The tool was cool, but nobody was using it. They bought that thing for like $150 million, which is crazy to me. And so they splurged. And I think, you know, that splurge window is now closed.
Well, listen, if you're a listener and if you work at Sirius or Spotify or something like this, and you want to throw a few
bones, we are motivated by money.
Yeah, I do things because people pay me money. So we can have that conversation.
I enjoy commas with many zeros around them.
Yeah. Down. So anyway, if you're listening and you want to make an introduction or you want to help us get paid.
Can we talk about this? Okay, so I have a few ideas. So I have a couple of things I want to talk to you about later. I want to talk to you about this new version of plastic surgery that I think is interesting. I want to talk to you about a virtual reality project that I saw that was actually doing pretty significant revenue. I want to talk to you about this like bionic reading thing. So I have a few things I want to talk about. But first, can we talk about this meme, the drinking a cola meme?
Yeah.
So Sam texts me while we're on vacation. And I was like, dude, this is perfect for the pod because you saw a tweet from Moyes who came on the podcast the same day or the next day or something like that. And Moyes said something like, I don't know, can you pull it up what the exact phrasing is? But he was just tweeting about some business thing. He's like, oh yeah, I was drinking a cola with the founders of this, you know, blah, blah, blah app. And then he said some business thing and Sam rightfully pointed out how hilarious that intro is of like, I was enjoying a cola with my friends. And then yeah, we just decided to start talking about, you know, cash flow.
I met with the Triple Whale founders yesterday for a cola. They were exhausted from a day of traveling, but we all left with so much energy. Genghis Khan conquered 30% of the world during his reign. We want to do the same, except the world is now the digital marketing share. But The intro was, I met with these founders yesterday for a cola.
That tweet is hilarious on multiple levels. First of all, I met up with these founders for a cola. Hilarious. Who drinks cola? I don't know. Now, like, who says cola? First of all, that's like who smokes and drinks soda still? I don't know. Second, who calls it cola? Third, why is that relevant for the tweet? It's so funny.
Yeah, so we have to do a series of tweets where it's like we talk about something profound, but the intro is like, you know, so I was getting some caramels with a friend or. So like it just got to be like the most random stuff. Right.
Snapping off a beef jerky with my buddy Timmy, and he told me about how self-storage market is really going under right now. It's
like, I thought it was so, who says a cola? Cola? Do you think that's what he meant? Is a cola like he sat down for like Pepsi? Like
it's like, you know, at our board meeting today, we poured out a peppermint schnapps and decided to
Fanta. Yeah, that is weird.
So that's my new if we ever do an event or a conference, it's like that's the passcode. Like, how do we know you're real and you're a real listener, you're real loyal? Yeah. It's like you need to be able to come up and be like and tell us a story. Tell us a story that starts with so I was eating a Dunkaroo and just had a question.
Yeah. Or we got to do the most extreme thing ever where it's like, so I was doing this thing where you suck on a piece of candy and then spit it in your friend's mouth so it changes the taste. Anyway, we were talking about that's not important, but we were talking about the economics.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Yeah, that's my new shit. You know, my last shit was I have moved straight to the end because of Elon, and I have moved straight to the end. That's done. And my new shit is, me and my buddy, we're doing the spaghetti thing where we each take one end of the noodle and suck on it. But when we got close to the middle, we realized the problem with COVID.
Yeah. And then we started talking about the recession and how it's looming. That's pretty good. Drinking a cola.
All right.
Really quick. Do you think that he was trying to be funny?
No, that's the best part. I think he was just saying what happened, and that in his mind is what happened. Even the second part of the tweet alone. Take the cola part out. Just being like, I met with the founders of Triple Whale, and Genghis Khan. If you bring Genghis Khan into whatever sentence you're saying, you are dramatically overestimating whatever you're doing in life. It's like the same way where if anyone's like, the way that Tesla came out with the Roadster first. So we're also doing a high end of digital marketing attribution before we go low end. It's like, no, you're making yourself equivalent to Tesla. And that's, anytime you're like Genghis Khan conquered 30% of the earth, whatever the next sentence is, better be fucking lit. And it, instead, his was like, we're doing the same for digital marketing. And so that also was just hilarious to me.
Is Cola, was Moyes born in America? Yeah, he's born here,
right? I think they were born in Pakistan and then they moved when they were 7 or 5 or something.
Is that a Pakistani thing where they call soda Cola?
I don't know, maybe, because actually I have a cousin who came over from India, but when he was 20, and he would always be like, hey, can I have a Coca-Cola light? And we're like, what? What'd you just say? And he would he would always say the full name of things. And it was is this covered by nationwide insurance? It's it is. Funny you ask.
This is awesome. We could go on this forever.
Yeah, it's too much. It's too much for me. All right, so I want to talk to you about a couple ideas. Did you see this thing about, I have this link in here you can see. It's this surgery that guys are getting that costs $75,000, but it'll make you 3 inches taller. Did you see this thing? They break
That's a great thing to text to your friend who is a little short. You're like, hey, heard the news.
Good news. Yeah. Congrats. Yeah, congrats. The scientific breakthrough. What happened? You got a vaccine? No. They break your femur and they'll put a rod in and it'll make you 3 to 5 inches taller. And this thing is apparently just popping off. And I've just been looking at this what are the big problems that nobody wants to admit to but are real? I just think that that's an interesting prompt for business ideas. So it's our buddy Craig Clemens does this where one of his products is one of his best selling products, right? He's got these D2C companies that do over $100 million a year in sales as part of his bootstrapped thing. And I think one of their products was some toenail fungus remover. And it's just the unsexiest thing, but it's common. And it's actually something that people really want to get rid of, right? Something that people really want to change. And I think height is another one. I've seen this now in two places. So first I saw this surgery thing and I was like, oh, that's funny. The article was written almost can you believe this crazy thing people are doing? And in my mind, I was like, yeah, I can totally believe that. I think being 3 to 5 inches taller is fucking awesome. Yeah, exactly. If you're going to get breast implants
or a fake ass, this is I'm on board.
Exactly. And I was like, you know, being taller is like, you know, just awesome. Like if you gave me 3 inches, I'd be very happy and I'd earn more money and I'd be more liked. Like, that's just a thing. Like, Ben, how tall are you? You're like 6'4", right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So correct.
You already know the advantage you have. You're so privileged, dude. You shouldn't even talk in this podcast. You're so privileged. You're speaking from tall privilege right now.
Check your privilege.
Yeah. You need to check your tall privilege at the door right now.
I had a girlfriend one time. Not like a girlfriend, but like a girl I was familiar with who told me, I can't tell if I think you're actually handsome or if you're just tall.
Yeah. By the way, Sam, in your course, there's a review from me saying like, Sam's copywriting course, it works. I got 3 extra inches in 2 weeks or something like that. And did you write that? Because people keep coming to me to be like, that's so funny. Yeah. They're like, dude, that's so funny. And either I blacked out or someone is just impersonating me because I don't remember writing that. But it's hilarious.
Basically, if you go to trycopythat.com and you scroll all the way down, like on the sales page, you'll see like and it says Sean Purry. And then the review is, loved it so much. It gave me 3 extra inches. Totally 5 out of 5 stars. I thought you did that, which was funny. But the fact that someone else did it and wrote your name is even funnier. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I knew a guy. Yeah, so this is an interesting question. I know a guy named Nat, and he's got an app. It's called like, I forget what it's called, but it helps you with a Kegel. Do you know what a Kegel is? I think a Kegel is the exercise that you do, or is it the muscle that needs to be stronger?
It's the exercise
that you have to do that keeps you from pre-jacking early. I guess that's an oxymoron.
I like how you just shortened it. You're like, if I just say half the word, it's half as bad. The other thing, I think women do it, which is like supposed to be just like good for you in general, but also like
tightens. For women, it kind of tightens.
It helps them feel, helps sex feel better for them, I think is the idea.
Well, this guy, and he created an app for men to keep you from just jacking early. And I think he kills it. I mean, it's not a huge
doing
thing,
pretty
but like
well.
10 grand a month.
Yeah. What? I guess, let me guess, it's doing pretty well.
Yeah, it's doing good. And so that's like another one. I don't know if that's that big of a market, but what else is there?
I think it is a huge market. I mean, look at what Roe and Hims did, right? So they took erectile dysfunction and they wrapped a brand that you won't feel embarrassed you're associated with around it, right? Like the value of Hims is partially the telemedicine piece, which is like, you don't have to go to a doctor and talk to somebody face to face about this. So it's like reduces shame on one end. And then on the other end, it reduces shame the other way, which is you get the package. There's no label on it. It's like completely discreet. And secondly, like they made their brand cooler so that you don't feel like a schmuck for using. You don't feel like something's wrong with you or you're broken in some way for using them. Right. Like that's like the value of their brand. And that's why they built literally a $1 billion brand doing that.
Yeah. Here's another one. Have you ever like cheese grated your foot to get the callus off? You know, kind of, like
that's the most country thing you've ever said. No, I have never done that.
Like, you know, like with parm. Have you ever had like,
oh, I know what you're talking about. Like cheese. I've seen a girl doing this on this. Like there's like a, like the equivalent of like a sweet potato peeler or whatever. And they just like use that on their, like to get their callus off their foot.
Yeah. So I just sent it to you in the chat box. It's basically, I bought one the other day cause I had just like calluses on my foot and it's right. Basically just a cheese grater, like a for Parmesan cheese. They just call it a foot. They call it a colossal foot rasp. A foot file is what they call it. It's got almost 100,000 reviews.
Oh my god, this thing has 82,000 reviews on Amazon.
It's that's just like a cheese grater that they just
have
call
you ever
a
seen a product
file.
With more reviews than that? Like no. The Hot Pot has the Instapot or whatever has that many reviews.
Is that crazy? It's a $10 like made in China cheese wow. grater that they just call a foot file. Is that
is insane.
That no. probably cost them 50 cents, right?
No, more than that. But like, yeah, it's still profitable. That's crazy because they're just going to get so many searches, right? Like for something like this. The other one that's like the height one that I saw. So somebody's doing this on TikTok and the ad is brilliant. So they're selling a shoe, like a men's platform shoe. So it's an insert into a normal shoe that's kind of like a heel, but instead of the heel being on the outside of the shoe, it's on the inside. So your foot just like your heel gets elevated from the inside, like a Dr. Scholl's, but like gives you 2.5 inches in inside of a shoe.
Way better than surgery. Just do that.
Way better, right? And so, how do they sell this? How do they sell this? The TikTok ad is, it looks like, so it's, you know, this, like, I don't know if you heard this thing in comedy, like a man on the street interview, where it's basically like, if you ever watch those late night shows, they'll go to like Times Square, they'll be like, you know, do you support, you know, whatever this thing? And then people don't even know what it is. They like say stupid stuff. But it's basically like dude walking around with a microphone out and about like Times Square or outside of a nightclub or like at a bar. And they just like ask questions. And so the ad is a TikTok, is on TikTok. And what the guy's doing is, or the girl is, the guy's interviewing girls. He's like, all right, be honest. Does size matter when it comes to height for guys? Right. Or like something like that. They like immediately get you of like, okay, first, this doesn't look like an ad. Secondly, you kind of want to know what the girl says.
Because every and then it man quickly, is self-conscious of it.
Exactly, because it's preying on an insecurity. And so then, and it just quickly cuts between the girls and they'll be like, and it ranges from a girl being like, no, okay, yeah. And then like, so, you know, so it's kind of like her admitting it. And then it's like, the next one is like two girls. They'll be like, hell yeah, she won't even date a guy if he's not 6'5". And she's like, no. She's like, no, tell the truth. It's true. And like, and it's kind of like preying on the guy's insecurity. Like, oh man, girls really care about this. They won't admit it. But if you get them to be honest, they really do care that extra height matters. They'll be like, what's the perfect height for a guy? And then they'll be like, 6'1". Like, you know, the average guy is my 5'9". And they're like, yeah. And then they're just laughing. Right. And it's like four of those cuts of like that interview. And then it's like, and then they do an even better version of it. They're like, I've seen one, I think that's like, the guy's wearing it and they're like, did you know that he's wearing this thing right now? And they're like, no, I had no idea. And it's basically like, people can't tell that you're wearing these things. And so they're addressing the objections that somebody would have. So first they create the demand, which is that like girls will find you more attractive if you're taller. Then they address the objections, which is you don't look goofy for wearing stilts. And like, and so they're like, oh, I have no idea. No, you can't tell. Oh my God, that's awesome. Like, that's so clever. And so they're like, and they super cut that together. And I saw that and I was like, man, this is a really effective like marketing campaign. And it's also an interesting product category that I wouldn't have otherwise really thought about.
That's actually interesting. Yeah, this is pretty cool. That is a good one that people are embarrassed about. They need to do an ad about how like everyone who says they're 5'11 is really just 5'9 because no one's actually 5'11. Like you just.
Yeah, if you did a man on the street, you're like, how tall are you? And they're like, yeah, 5'11. I'm six. And they're like, okay, cool. We have a thing right here. Just stand up. And they're like, 5'10.
No, no one's 6 even. No one's 5'11. Yeah, you're 5'10. Are you 6'1? Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. never met a 6-footer in your life. It's like a leap year. I've never met
a 6-footer in my life, dog. You 5'10. Just admit it.
5'10, 6'1. No in between.
God skipped that. We went from 5'11 to 6'1, but you ain't 6 even. Yeah.
God doesn't make mistakes, but he never made a man 6 foot even.
That stamp wasn't made. So like anyone who says they're 6 even, that ain't true. That's why women always say you have to be at least 6'1".
Let me tell you another TikTok marketing thing that I think is pretty clever that I saw. Have you ever heard of, it's probably not, it's pretty niche, but this thing called Farkate Apartments. I have it on here. It's Farkate. So basically there's a woman on TikTok and she's a real estate broker or a leasing broker. And I'll tell you how I arrived at this. So somebody had tweeted out something which was like, hey, if you needed a side hustle that was going to generate like $3,000 to $5,000 a month, and you could only kind of work like, you know, let's say like, you know, a couple hours in during the week and you know, half a day on the weekends or something like that, what would you do to do that if you didn't know how to code? And one of the interesting answers was, oh, I'd be a leasing agent, because if you can get an apartment leased up, you get, I think, the first month's rent or something like that as the broker. Yeah. And so the rent is going to be, you know, in New York or San Francisco or these big cities, the rent's going to be like $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. And so if you just lease one apartment, right? So if you can get one apartment leased, you know, that's $5,000 right there. That's pure profit, essentially. And what I saw was that some people, what they're doing is they're creating popular TikTok accounts just showing unique spaces or like in this case, she chose like hilariously, I think hilariously bad apartments. Like she'll walk into this place. She'll be like, all right, this apartment, this condo is exquisite in like whatever, you know, Queens here. And then she'll be like, you know, how many bedrooms is it? There's no bedrooms. There's just this loft. Actually, it's not a loft. Actually, it's just this like area above the kitchen where there's like a pipe above your head. But like there's like 3 inches to go sleep up there if you can climb up. And like, oh, you know, do you like the soothing sounds of water? Well, the toilet keeps running, so you'll have that Zen vibe. And so she's like kind of making fun of like how overpriced apartments in New York are. And for like how little you get for how much you pay, which is just a great viral hook, right? So instead of just doing the literal thing, which is go to find an apartment, be like, hey guys, here's a great apartment. She's finds hilariously bad deals, makes that her TikTok or really good deals. And then she basically says, if you want an apartment, come to me. And so I don't know if this is exactly her model, but because I just looked at it real quick, but like, I think that would be a model that would work is create content. Like we've seen this on Instagram. There's an account called Zillow Gone Wild, which is just hilarious to watch, which is like, it's just like crazy ass homes from Zillow. And so you can kind of make like house porn or like apartment porn where it's like just really interesting stuff, like really interesting apartments or really interesting homes, really overpriced, really underpriced, whatever. And then use that as your lead gen for like, by the way, do you actually just want a 2-bedroom apartment? Like come through, like get it through me. Like here's my listings. Like you can actually see if you want like something that's not like overpriced, here's my listings. And like, I think just doing something like that, you could have a lot of fun and build a pretty like solid business. I mean, I'm sure she's doing way more than 5K a month, but well, I just thought that was kind of an interesting little model.
I looked up this word. I've never heard of that word. I looked it up. It's a Yiddish word that means poor quality. And so, gotcha. But who's this lady? What's her handle?
It's just that. It's that word. Those words together. Farcock Day apartments, and that's her TikTok. She has 37,000 followers, and like, you know, like here's a huge loft in Brunswick. It'll have 108,000 views on that video, right? So she's showing these things, but then she has her actual. So she's like comedy actress slash realtor. If you want my real rentals, you know, compass.com. Go get them. Right, like you can email
that crushes.
Yeah, that's so I thought this was great, and it's like completely differentiated from what most people do. And so, like, I'm trying this right now with the Milk Road, which is like, I'm really obsessed with this idea of like, if you combine two things that are usually not combined, you don't have to be great at either one of the things because you've created a whole new combination, right? Like this happens in food all the time, where like you've talked about this formula in food, like jumbo donut. It's like, you don't need to have the best donuts. Just do a huge donut and then people will come to you for that, right? Go for the biggest, make like a green, you know, purple ketchup, green, like, you know, or Dorito tacos, right? Like, it's not that it's better. It's just so different. And so with Milk Road, we're doing this right now where I'm trying to create like basically it's not funny enough where it'd just be like a straight up like comedy thing,
like, but it's podcast. Like
a lot of, yeah, it's like this podcast. Yeah. I don't know why I'm trying to go for this like far-fetched example. This podcast. Are we the richest? No. Are we the smartest? No. Are we the best prepared? No. Do we have the best insights and research? Absolutely not. Well, are we the funniest? No. But do we have the right combination of like, we're having a good time. We make ourselves laugh and make you laugh just enough. We're like, it's business and it's just enough business and just enough make you laugh. And that's what, like, I'm trying that with the Milk Road now. I'm trying to do the same thing. It's like, there's crypto information. There's a lot of people trying to be the smartest guy in the room with crypto. It's like a big brains contest. You go into a room and everybody's just trying to have this like 9,000 IQ. And it's like, well, we want to be smart, but we're not going to be the smartest because who the fuck knows who's the smartest? And it's really hard. But like, we can also be slightly funny and we would differentiate ourselves from everybody else doing crypto content. And so I'm pretty interested in this idea of stacking unique skills that are like, you don't have to be the best at either. You just have to be just dangerous enough at both. But if you combine them, you're completely differentiated in your market.
Can I ask you about a crypto story really quick that you would might know about? And yeah. I need you to explain it to me. So do you know anything about Sam Bankman-Fried? That's his name, right? Bankman-Fried?
Yeah, of course.
So how old is he? Is he under 30 still?
He's like 29, 30, 31.
I know he was under 30 at once, but is he still under
30? I should know. They are currently the leading sponsor of the Milk Road. So FTX, go get your account. So he is 30 years old exactly. On the dot.
All right. That was a bad joke I made, by the way. I said, I knew he was under 30 once, but is he still under 30?
That was good, actually. I just didn't pick it up.
All right. So this, like, basically when he was 28, he was worth like $20 billion, right?
Yeah. He's the, and, I think he's probably, I think him or the guy from Binance, they're the richest person from crypto besides whoever Satoshi is.
That's crazy. So, and this, he said in an article the other day, he's like, I'm thinking about spending $100 million on the upcoming presidential election, but I'll probably cap out at about $1 billion.
Yeah.
And just like that statement is just a ridiculous statement to, like, not that it's wrong. It's just like a crazy chain of words added together in one sentence. Like, I didn't think I would hear someone say it, let alone a 30-year-old. How, what type of person is this guy to become that rich at like 28?
He also has a unique skill stack, which is that, so he was like, I think a trader or an analyst at Jane Street. So it's like kind of like a smart quant type guy. And then, you know, I think I've told the story before, you know, the story about the kimchi, like arbitrage or whatever, you know, this,
not exactly. I know that like he did some arbitrage, but I don't understand why Bitcoin would be cheaper in Korea than it would in America.
Well, it's all about like kind of like access and the liquidity of the market. So like, some markets, like for example, Japan is where the access was the hardest. So like, I think, let's say this, for example, the government's crackdown on exchanges. So you can only get it in the black market or on these small niche exchanges or these foreign offshore exchanges. There's a lot of friction. And so because of that,
you can't access Coinbase.com.
Yeah. Like at a given time in Japan, you couldn't access, you couldn't easily buy Bitcoin. Because of that, to buy Bitcoin in Japan, you were paying a premium. So in theory, you could, let's say Bitcoin is priced at 30 grand. You could buy Bitcoin for 30 grand in America. And if you had a way to sell it in Japan, you could sell it for 32,000 and you could just infinitely make a $2,000 spread. And so it's kind of like, great, how much capital you got, pour it all into Bitcoin in the US and then sell it all instantly in Japan. And you're not really taking much risk because you're just quickly flipping it for that premium. And so a lot of people were trying to do this. I think there was a spread of about 5 grand in Japan or something like that at the time. But nobody knew how, like, it wasn't easy to go sell the thing in Japan. Again, if it was that easy, there wouldn't have been the premium in the first place. What he found was that, I think it was in Korea, that he, there was a smaller premium, but it was easier to get around. And so like what they did was they like literally flew to Korea or whatever. And they like talked to like local banks and they were like, hey, we would like to have an account that will allow us to, you know, wire money in significant size every day in and out. Like, can you support that? Can you support that action? Because I'm going to basically be transferring in, like, you know, call it $2 million in and $2 million out the same day. And it has to be the same day.
Just calling that action makes it sound cooler. Can you support that action? That's such a better word than
the amount. Can you handle that size? That's my new ship also, by the way. Just being like, yeah, we got to be able to do it in size. Or like, yeah, they're moving in size. It's like,
I was going to say action instead of the word amount. So like, asking my wife how much like beef she wants me to buy at the store. How much action you want?
How much action are you trying to get on these ribs? In terms of oat milk, are we trying to move size? Or
how much action you want?
Yeah, crazy.
Oh my god.
So basically what ended up happening was he had this company, like whatever, Alameda Research or whatever. But like he saw that the I think it was like the kimchi premium was like the big premium. It was like if Bitcoin was 10K in the US, it was 15K in Korea. And I think in Japan, there was a smaller one. And so he was able to do it in Japan and he made like something like $20 million doing this arbitrage in like one summer. And it took him like flying there, finding a network of local banks that would let him wire serious money in and out and make sure that they could just repeat these transactions on the same day close. So that they had the money, they were recycling a small amount of money. So I think it was like, take $2 million, they buy Bitcoin, they sell it in Japan. They take the money that they made in Japan, they need to be able to wire it back so that tomorrow they can go buy again 2.2 million of Bitcoin based off of the extra that they made. And then they did the same thing next day, 2.4 million. And they got it up where they eventually profited like 20, 30 million. So then he basically was like, all right, him and his like small team, I guess. Like this little crew that was doing this arbitrage.
Did he have money ahead of time or was he just living with roommates?
Living with roommates. Even now he lives like, he drives like an old beat up Honda or some shit like that. He sleeps like in the office on a giant beanbag. So there's like tons of pictures of him just like passed out on a beanbag in front of his desk. And it's like, it's actually like two beanbags, like upper body on one, feet on the other, creates this tiny little SBF bridge in between them. And like, that's just the way this guy works. And he's like, you know, he's vegan. He practices a thing called effective altruism, I think is what you call it. And so, so that's his thing, which is like his goal is like this philosophy. And the goal is make as much money as you can so that you can give away as much money as you can. Like that's the point of making money, is to give it away in the most effective manner possible. And so it's like earn to give is the like name of the, is the name of the, like, the philosophy of what they do.
Is that
so one of the things he's trying to do is like, yeah, that's what he says he's motivated by. So he's like, you know, he's donated, like, I think he donated like, he's donated 200 million already of his like net worth. And he's, you know, this thing about like, I'm willing to donate up to $1 billion, you know, in the next one is to like, you know, another way to make change. And it's not all political. Like, it's like, where does the dollar have, you know, the most effect and that sort of thing.
Did I also read an interview, or is it you who told me, where he was like, I don't even care about Bitcoin. Like, I'm just doing this to make money. Like, he said something to the...
He's not like particularly interested in crypto.
Yeah, full of shit.
Yeah, so there's a lot of people in crypto that are like very missionary. Like, if you listen to Brian Armstrong from Coinbase, he's like, he like lived in Buenos Aires and he saw like, you know, what happened to the Argentinian peso. And he was like, it's not right. Like, people around the world are, you know, don't have access to like economic freedom. And, you know, they live in a place where their currency gets devalued like crazy. And like, there's a better way, and it's crypto. I believe that to my core. And I'm going to like, Coinbase is going to help more people like get into crypto, because I think crypto is what matters in the world. And Sam Bankman-Fried's just sort of like, you know, not that. His mission is different. His mission is like, I'm an effective altruist. I'm trying to give away as much money as possible. So I need to make as much money as possible. And in order to do that, I'm going to just, you know, whether you're selling this or that, like, cool. People wanted an effective trading platform for crypto. I'll build that. You know, I know this product and this need because I'm a trader. So I'll be able to like do it that way.
That's baller, man. And there was a meme of him going.
The other piece of the other piece of the effective altruism is like, they really use like, they want it to be evidence-based that like, you know, every dollar going in is like having like, you know, sort of like the greatest possible impact is like one of their big things. Like, how measurable is the impact?
Dude, this guy's great. There's a funny meme of him going around. Basically, this guy, his name's Sam Bankman-Fried. Google him, and he looks like you'd want him to look. So he's kind of like a chubby Jewish guy who wears like New Balance shoes and like high socks and cargo shorts and like an army green t-shirt and like shaggy hair and a huge Timex watch. Like, he looks like you want him to look. Yeah. And he, there's a picture of him on stage, and it's like this beautiful interviewer. And then on his left is like Giselle. And on the right is like some other model, like Heidi Klum. I forget, like these, like, you know, smart, like business women who are just like the most gorgeous people you've ever seen. And he's sitting in the middle and they're all like looking at him. And it's like, get you a person who will look at Sam Bankman-Fried like Giselle looks at him or something like that. And it's hilarious.
Yeah. And he's just kind of hunched over, oblivious to the whole thing. It's great.
is he like, what makes him special?
You know, that's hard to say. I haven't met him. We've met some of the other like kind of people, the FTX team, like, for example, their head of strategy is like 25 years old or something like that. He might be 24 and he's like the head of strategy there. He like started off in customer service and is now the head of strategy. And so I think they just like, if I could just kind of comment on like what you see as the culture for them is like, they go hard. What I mean by that is like, they're like, they're really sharp. They're like kind of like quants. And then they like work. It just seems like they work very hard and they move as fast as crypto moves, which is very, very fast. And they didn't like, there was no like invisible walls for them. Like, the company's based in the Bahamas. They grew like crazy. When they wanted to do marketing, they're like, okay, go get Steph Curry and Tom Brady and like, you know, Larry David. And that's who's going to be our spokesperson or whatever. Like, they like pulled no expenses. They like bought arena. Like, he called somebody. I know the guy who, we met the guy who did the athlete rights for them. And basically he was like, yeah, we got on a call and I was like, okay, so like, what are your goals with like, you know, sports sponsorships to help, you know, FTX, how are you going to measure this? He goes, how much does it cost to have the Yankees stadium renamed to FTX stadium? It's like, yeah, I don't think that's even like for sale. He's like, okay, what about every ad inside the stadium? And he's like, that's a lot, man. Like, maybe we should just like kind of like crawl before we walk and before we run. And he's like, I think it would be most effective if we go get Tom Brady and Steph Curry and Yankees. Like, you go do that and then tell me when you have them. You know, like that was essentially the call. And it was like, you know, name your price. And like, that's what they did. And guess what? They got all of them. And it's like a pretty impressive strategy where it's like, there's not like any, like, you know, tiptoeing around in
this. I love those people. I call them freaks and I love them. I love these freaks. Love freaks.
What, he also is one of my favorite Twitter followers. Like, I don't know if you do you follow him on Twitter? He posts awesome threads that are like, not like, again, it's not propaganda for his company, but it actually is effectively propaganda for the company. So he'll just be like, you know, here's my thoughts on like raising money. Here's what actually happens. And he'll be like, yeah, investors, they want us to do this. And at first I thought, that's just self-serving bullshit. But then I realized actually the game theory is this. And then he like just talks, he'll just lay out these long threads. And like, he's like, look, I'm not saying this is FTX's point of view. This is like my late night thoughts about this topic. And when you see him think out loud, you're like, oh, wow, this guy's like just incredibly sharp. And he sees both sides of it. He's kind of like an independent thinker. And so he's one of the best follows on Twitter.
Do you think working with him, do you think that he's obviously has some intensity, but is he like a hustle, like let's work, like why, like this alpha type of guy?
No, I don't get that vibe. I don't get Wolf of Wall Street. I don't get he's not Genghis Khan took over 30% of the thing. It's like, it's more like obsession meets like, you know, I don't know if this got cut. I think this got cut out of our previous podcast where we were like, we kind of admire the like Asperger's-y personality because it has like the ability to like focus really intensely and the ability to like think for yourself and not think just like, oh, what is the norm? What's societal norms? Like, let me just go with that. So to me, it's like when he says that, let's go get the Yankees and Tom Brady, it's not because like, let's go swing our big D around here and let's go show who's boss. It's like, well, it seems like the most effective thing to do if we're trying to build trust would be go to the most trusted athletes and like get them. And on a cost per fan basis, they're actually the most effective, even though the total gross dollar amount is higher, right? Like, to me, that's how his brain works. Not like, you know, it'd be sweet, dude, if we go get like, let's go get the fucking Yankees, bro. Like, it's not that. And so,
looks at a chart and he's like, what's has the largest reach? Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, just whatever's number one on that chart, just do that.
Right, exactly. Like, well, if this has the arbitrage, then like, let's put all of our money into it and like, let's hedge it over here. Like that, it's more like that. And so I think that when they, in the same way, like the intensity of the company is high, but I don't think it's because it's like, bro, we got to grind if we want to make it, you know, like, you know, you take weekends off, you know, you're soft, you know, like it's not that. It's more like, oh, I haven't eaten in 36 hours because I've just been like really interested in this problem. And I'm staring at my screen and I forgot to eat and I forgot to shower. And I guess I'll just sleep on this beanbag because that way I don't need to commute because commuting wastes at least, you know, an hour a day. And like, why would I waste an hour of my day? Like, you know, I can sleep on this beanbag. In fact, it's ergonomic or whatever. You know, like, I think that's more how the brain works, where it's like this hyper rationalism is what I would call it.
I wonder what he's like as a CEO. Like, do you think he holds one-on-one meetings and like, because he just does not look like.
Well, we should have him on. Him and the head of whatever. They wanted to come on the pod. So I think they're protecting him a little bit. Like, he's now super busy with like press obligations or whatever. Like, so I think they were trying to have like the number two guy in the company come on the pod. And so this guy, Brett. So I think he'd be really interesting too. But I, you know, everybody wants SBF because he looks like he's the Zuckerberg, right? Like, Cheryl might be the secret weapon and the one who actually runs the show. But like, Zuck is this like alien character that people are fascinated with and they want to like poke them and be like, oh, look, it moves, you know? And so I would love to get Sam on.
I wouldn't mind having a guy who is his boss, you know, a guy who works for him, as long as the guy coming on would be cool.
Only going to ask you about Sam. Is that cool?
Yeah, like, oh, wait, no, I don't think you understand the assignment. We don't care about like you.
That's not annoying, right?
Yeah.
Dude, it's like if I meet someone who's like, oh man, love the podcast, I'm like, dude, great, so glad to meet a fan. And they're like, Sam's so awesome, what's it like to be around Sam? I'm like, oh, fuck you, dude, I'm busy, like I'm not gonna sit here talking about Sam.
Well, we've had a couple of guests and they're like cool and they like say like, oh yeah, I worked with Steve Jobs, and like, wait, all right, let's just let's just only focus.
Scrap your on current that. Thing.
So as long as they're okay, like if they understand the assignment, that it's strictly a like we're just here to like learn. Like Joe Rogan had this guy who worked at SpaceX, and they talked about what it's like to work to Elon for Elon. And I was like, oh, just let's just only focus on that thing. The whole going to space stuff is cool, but just tell me what it's like to work with Elon. And that's what we. Right. As long as they understand right. that's the assignment, I'm on board.
Our software is the worst.
Have you heard of HubSpot?
See, most CRMs are a cobbled together mess, but HubSpot is easy to adopt and actually looks gorgeous.
I think I love our new CRM.
Our software is the best.
HubSpot, grow better.
Here's another kind of like interesting, like intensity teamwork thing that I think is, you know, close enough transition. Have you seen this business called A-Team?
A-Team? Like,
I think it's because... I think it's just a letter A and then dot team is their website.
Well, you know, that's like a famous TV show, right? You remember Mr. T?
Mr. T or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah.
All I know is that much. I've never seen anything. So it's that same, like, I think they're kind of playing on that branding a little bit in the sense that like the idea is based. So they just raised $60 million and they raised it from NFX, who NFX was early in them and said good things. I respect NFX. So made me pay attention. Now, this is an idea that's been around, it's been tried, but maybe the time is right now. And so that's why this is interesting to me. So let me kind of give you my backstory of this idea, and I want to hear what you think, if you think this is a good idea or a bad idea. So I once heard Naval on a podcast talk about like the future of work. And he was basically like, Naval was like, you know, I don't buy this whole, I don't believe that we're going to live in a world where you work 9 to 5 sitting at a desk in some office for one company and you work there for 30 years. And you already see that shifting. Like instead of working at a place for 30 years and then getting your pension when you retire and they like, you know, have a cake cutting ceremony in the lobby for you as they send you off to your death. Like, okay, now people started to hop jobs more. And then people started to work, you know, remote and freelance. And Naval's thing was like, he's like, I think the future of work is like Ocean's 11. He goes, you're going to have your crew the same way that Ocean's 11 is this badass team of like, you know, you got the pickpocket guy, you got the ninja, you have the like the comms guy, you have the planner, you have the like, you know, the guy who can go gather intel, you have the hot girl who's the distraction, and you have this, you know, you got Brad Pitt, George Clooney. All right. So that's the team. And it's like, you're just going to get a message which says, all right, guys, round up. Like we got one, we got a mission to go on. And everybody meets up and everyone doing other stuff. And it's like, what's the mission? Oh, like, you know, Ocean's 11, so we're going to rob this bank or whatever. And then for work, it's going to be like, all right, here's this brand that's trying to whatever. They're killing the U.S. They're trying to expand into India. And so you might be the Ocean's 11 team that continuously gets called on to take a brand and expand them into India. And like you wake up, you get a page, you know, your pager basically goes off and says, we need you. The bat signal is up. You all congregate. You've all worked together. So, you know, you come as a group who's good at accomplishing certain types of missions. You do those missions, you rate each other, you rate the company that hired you, they rate you, you rate each other on your team, you go on your way and you get called in for the next mission and the money hits your bank. And so Naval kind of describes this thing and he's like, you won't just have one team, like you'll probably float around with a couple teams. Like if you're the pickpocket, you've got like three teams that can call on you and it just works that way. So you get reputation that's built not on a resume, but through this like verified ratings of like, I've actually worked with this person. You have... not continuous work. You get called on when there's a mission, you sprint, you crush it, then you relax until the next mission. Oh. You can work as much or as little as you want. You may or may not even know the identities of the other people. You could be like, my nickname is just whatever, Starwing. And I just go in and people know me as Starwing. And that's how I work. And like, that's the future of work. So that kind of fascinated me when he described it. And he did it in the Naval way, which was like, you know, 1/10 of the words I just used, but twice as interesting. And now I'm starting to see some startups pop up that are doing this. And to me, A-Team is an idea of that where they're like, oh, you want to build an e-commerce website? Well, we have the designer, the front-end developer, the back-end developer, and the like conversion optimizer. And like they'll just swoop in and they'll just do it for you. In like 2 weeks, you'll get a better product than whatever. And here's the big lump sum payment you do for that team.
This is so amazing. I saw a meme the other day where it was a guy... He goes, I so look forward to the day where I'm just sitting at a bar and a stranger walks up and says, I'm putting together a team. And I look at him and respond, I'm in when we leave. And it was just like, that.
yeah, that's I live in the duffel bag, you know?
yeah. I'm putting the team together. You in? Dude, this is awesome. Their site is amazing. This is one of the best landing pages I've seen in a long time. It's a.team. Look at their landing page.
It's pretty good. The hero image is really good. And then, the examples
are good.
They just
so succinctly describe what they're doing. So you just get on, you just log on and you see it. It's a relatively strange concept and they describe it in like two sentences wonderfully. This is awesome. I'm not sure. I think it's quite bold to say it's the future of work. I don't think that that's what it is, but I think it's like a subset of freelancing. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah, exactly. It's not everybody, but in the same way, like the gig economy made it so that, you know, I can like a thing that didn't happen 10 years ago or whatever, like was you wake up, you like hop in your car, you open up your phone, boop, this guy wants a ride over here, drive over there, pick him up, drop him off, cash at your bank. You know, you made $16 for that ride. Oh, you want to stop working because you want to go pick up your daughter from school. You swipe to log off. You're off work now. You want to get back on later, you know, at midnight and take people to the airport. All right, you can do that again. Like that whole gig economy thing where your phone just gives you jobs, like gives you work that will just pay you small micro like payments off your micro tasks. That's pretty cool. And that's like a thing that Uber and like TaskRabbit and DoorDash all brought to the table. So I feel like there might be the next version of that, which is like for highly skilled cross-discipline. Like I know I could do this, for example. Like I have three or four people where it's like, that's the great developer. This is the great designer. I'll be the marketing guy. And this guy will be the, you know, whatever.
But the problem is that they're not available like to do stuff. And this is creating an opportunity for them to be available. But if like I've gone to the Shopify marketplace and I've used Upwork. And oftentimes when I use Upwork, it's just like a guy in India who's like the face. And he's got like a team of like eight guys. And like, right. Isn't that kind of what's already happening? They just package this in a far more sophisticated and sexy way.
Yeah, they did in a more sexy way. And I think it's more for premium like things. So like in the same way that like if you don't want the India thing, but you want like it's sort of like what an agency does. But what agencies do is they specialize in one vertical. So it's like we do SEO, we do Facebook ads, we do copywriting. And what this is saying is like, no, you're trying to launch a marketplace. You're trying to launch a new NFT marketplace. Well, you're going to need somebody who's great at email marketing. You're going to need an engineer who knows smart contracts. You're going to need a designer. You're going to need a social media person. So like whatever, they give you the six cross-disciplinary people that are good at building marketplaces. And that's just like a different cut of the same idea of agencies.
This is awesome. This is one of the cooler companies I think I've seen lately. This is amazing. Yeah. How'd you find this?
Because the guys I follow at NFX, they were like, hey, this company's grown really fat. Like, I forgot what they said, but it was like growing super fast. And I was like, how fast? And, you know, that's why I started looking into it. And it reminded me of that, like that dreamy idea that Naval had brought up. And I was like, oh, maybe now with COVID, maybe now the time has changed where like there's enough really talented people that are no longer like locked into jobs because they're at home, like they're remote.
They've got like all the right people. If you go to like their team, it says that like, their featured advisors are the guy who started Fiverr, which is crazy. The guy who started Fiverr also started Lemonade. That's pretty wild. The CEO of Upwork. So like they've got all the right people on board. Wow. Yeah. This is an amazing company. This is a badass find. I'd never heard of these guys.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. All right. Take another idea off this list and another topic off this list and let's do that. I literally never read DocuSign. I just sign. This is more like I just needed to verify with you. Do you also do this? Like, dude, when I get a DocuSign, I'm not reading it. I'm not gonna lie. You can scam me pretty easily.
Have you seen the South Park episode where like it's like what they do is they create a, you know what a caterpillar is?
No.
So it's like
do I want to know?
They take a chain of six people and they sew their mouths to the person's butt and you just got to stay there.
Okay.
And Apple does that to people because it says it in the terms and conditions in iTunes when you sign up. And the whole episode is like, whoa, Stan, you didn't read the terms and conditions of Apple before you click yes? That's crazy. Of course, like you have to go do a caterpillar now because that's what it said. I can't believe you didn't read it. And it's like this whole thing. But, dude, I've been getting DocuSigns lately where they literally just send me the sign page. and they don't even send me.
Yes. People are like, hey, here's the document. It's just a one underline and it says sign here. I'm like, sign what? What am I
signing? Yeah, it's called a signature package. And basically, I've got it in the context of a company that I've invested in. They need me to sign paperwork for some reason because they're raising a new valuation at a higher valuation. And they literally just send me the signature packet. And like, I have, it's four or six things. And I'm just, it just says like Sam Parr and then a line and the signing. And I have no idea what I'm signing. And so, yeah, like, A, yes, I do that because I just don't read the stuff. And B, sometimes they don't even send me the stuff to read. They just send me, they just sign. I have no idea what it means. Do you get that?
Yeah, I've been getting those. And I'm like, I'm like, all right, it's one thing if I'm not going to read it. For you to not even write it, it's like a whole level, another level of arrogance here. And like, you know, poor form that we're taking. Yeah,
it comes from like lawyer at fu.com and just sign this schmuck. Just like sign this nerd. And just
show this law firm's name, Fuckman Banks. What is that? What do those guys do? Yeah. He was based in New York.
Yeah. Why is Seymour Butts asking me to sign this stuff? They're just messing with me.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
That's,
it's like, you know, when people really want to get us to respond, they're like Venmo us money or they're like PayPal us money, being like, oh, I'm being super creative to get you to read my message or whatever. And I'm like, it doesn't really work. I don't really like that. And it makes me feel uncomfortable. And like, you know, generally the people I want to meet never do that. So I'm like, generally this is not a good signal for you.
The other day, these guys were emailing me to try their stuff, and they're like, "What are you, soft? You're not up for the challenge?" And I was just like, "I am not up. I am not up for the challenge." And they just replied with, "Okay." It's like, you're correct. I am not up for the challenge.
I think people, they hear us on here and we're joking around, and they're like, what if I take that joke to the next level and I make it weird and they don't know me and they somehow think that's going to work? It's like, this works as me and Sam have known each other for like 10 years and the jokes are meant to be jokes. They're not serious. And it's like, then you take that same idea, you make it serious and you do it from a stranger. It's like, no, that's not the same thing.
Yeah. I actually don't like the annoying. The other day, this guy sent me an email and in the subject line it said like, you know, like, you're a C word sucker. And he's like, made you open. And I was like, oh, I don't like that. That I find that to be inappropriate and not cool. Like, I'm not on board with that. And that's what he said.
But I could totally see how somebody would listen to this podcast and think, they'll love that.
Yeah, or like,
why are you approaching me? It's like, we're that's what we're doing, where we're like, oh, I love this copywriting, and you know, just do what you got to do. And for the hustle, I was super annoying getting people to be conference speakers. Like, yeah, but I don't like when it happens to me.
Yeah, but I didn't call someone like a little bitch. Like, people will call me that. They're like, what's up, you little bitch? I'm like, dude, I don't know you.
Who was doing that? Somebody was doing that. Somebody who worked for us was doing that, right?
Yeah. I have not called them out, but they called us a little bitch. And I'm like, dude, you're an intern. Don't talk to me like that. And like, my friends don't even call me a little bitch. Like, what are you talking like that for? It was like, I think it was an intern that called us that. Yeah. Oh, I know. I think it was Abreu. Abreu used to call us a little bitch.
I wasn't going to call them out. You're like, I'm not going to call them out. Oh, unless it's Abreu, in which case.
It was Abreu. He was our producer, and he'd be like, time to work, you little bitch, or something. And I'm like, dude, don't talk to me like that. I'm going to talk to you like that. It's like, why are you calling me that?
Yeah, Abreu came in really hot. He came in really
hot. Let's do one more. What's this? Yeah, no, I mean, I love him, and he could talk to me that now that we're friends and not coworkers. But when we were coworkers, I was like, dude, I was like offended. I was like, please don't call me that. That I don't like that. Zelensky deepfake, what's that? Oh, wait, no, what's the history of the internet?
That's a longer one. I went down this rabbit hole of like the history of the internet, like how it came out. Pretty crazy, just crazy stuff. I'm not gonna do that one right now. That one's too long. But Okay, so Zelensky deepfake. So people know about deepfakes, which is like, I think a lot of people who listen to this probably know about deepfakes. But if you don't, it's basically the way that you can Photoshop a picture to kind of like edit it and make it look a certain way. And it looks real, but like, oh no, that's been Photoshopped. You can now do that with video, which kind of means...
But it's not as easy, right?
There's not an app I can download. It's not yet. There are some, but like, right. You know, in a small way, like the Snapchat face filter is essentially like a bit of a deep fake. There's this.
Have you seen the baby one or the one where it makes you sad and cry?
No. Is that on like Snapchat?
It's on Instagram. I think they like show someone's face and they're like, hey, Sean, why are you so sad? Why are you crying? And you're like, what? I'm not crying at all. But like, it looks like you're crying and sad and like you're crying.
And so like that's one version of it. Then there's like this app, I forgot what it's called, it's something Moves or something like that. It's like some dance app, but like you basically take a picture of yourself standing there and then it'll make it look like your body, it'll make you look like a great dancer. You could go post something on Twitter. I think you might have done this where it's like
I think that's how you found it, was I did it. It looked like I was breakdancing.
Yeah, you're like break, it's like, yeah, just jamming out on a Wednesday. It's like, whoa, Sam can break dance. Then it's like, oh, it looks not quite right. Wait a minute. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's like a deep fake. Basically, it's a deep fake video. And so this is, but they're getting better and better. Like, you'll see them do this with like, oh, my God, did you hear Obama saying the N-word? It's like, what? No. And then you watch this video. It's like, it's a deep fake, but they could like mimic his voice and his lips moving and talking, doing something. And then this is happening. It's like it's becoming a big problem in the porn industry because people are doing this with like, oh, there's some girl in my college and I'll just take her picture and I'll make it look like she shot this, you know, sex tape or whatever. And people are like, dude, that's like, you know, really effed up. But like the technology can do that now. It can basically make it look like somebody was doing something that they never did. And so right. This is becoming a problem. And there's one with Zelensky, the Ukrainian, whatever, president, prime minister, whatever he is. And like, there's this video going around of him talking and it's a real, there's a real video. And then there's the deep faked video where it shows like a trail powder of cocaine on his desk. And they're like, and the Russian propagandists saying, like, look at this. Your president's breaking down. He's using drugs. That's why he's saying all this crazy stuff. And they added some stuff in the background of the video. And I'm like, oh, man, this is just going to get super crazy of like, how do you know what you can trust? If you can't trust your eyes and ears anymore, like, how are we going to like prosecute crimes? How are we going to like prevent people from like, just completely slandering your reputation. Right. How are we going to prevent people from like, you know, like this was what people said that the Russians were doing with Hillary, like during the election was like, they were showing propaganda of like, Hillary said this about black people. And they were promoting that in like predominantly black counties where they were trying to sway the vote and like get them to not turn out for Hillary. And it's like, it was fake, right? But it was like misinformation. And so to me, I'm like, this deep fake thing is going to be like a real, real problem. And I think there's opportunity. Well, there's one answer that a buddy was trying to work on, which was basically a way to like certify the original mint of the video. So it's like you can basically encrypt the original video so that if anybody wants to see like, oh, this video of this guy saying this crazy thing, what was originally shot from the phone? And so he was trying to do that. But really what you need is you need the phone makers to participate because it has to be done at like the hardware level because anything else, it could be tampered with. It's like, well, if it's just a video file I encrypt, then I could just like encrypt it later. I could edit it first, then encrypt it. So it has to be done like as it's being shot. Apple and Google and Samsung or whoever these people are, they're going to have to bake it in where like every video comes with a seal of authenticity. Mm. And then that's going to be a cat and mouse game of like, can that be faked? Because you could put somebody in prison for like a fake murder. You know, like that's how crazy this is going to get if we don't have a way to fight against deep fakes.
By the way, go to the chat of Riverside and click the link I just sent you. Tell me what you think about that deepfake.
That's you dancing? Dude, that's great.
Yeah.
You said announcement. While you guys have been taking this time to chill, your boy's been learning to dance. Get on my level. And there's a video of you. Okay, so it's get Sway. So Sway is the name of the app. So getsway.app is the name of the thing. It's hilarious. Although it made look a little chunky here. Right? You look a little bit like Will Ferrell in this video. So, you know, you could dance, but it also looks like you put on like the COVID 30.
I was pre-influencer.
It's like glitching. It's not your actual thing. It's like because you're moving so fast, it's like it has to make it fuzzy. It can't have like a really sharp like line.
It's pretty good, though. Obvious. for just pretty an good app. I mean, click left, go to the left one. There's another one. I mean, it's pretty amazing for just like a free app.
What do you mean click left? There's no left.
There's a video to your left on the next picture to the left.
On your profile?
I mean, it's a pretty amazing. What's the app called? Get Sway?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's pretty amazing.
I hope some smart people out there are working on deep fakes. I'm curious what people are going to do. The only solution I know is doing it at the hardware, the operating system level. And even that's probably not perfect. But if somebody does figure out a perfect way to do this, that's going to be very, very valuable technology.
And I saw the Obama thing. Yeah, they made him kind of say some crazy shit. I agree. It is kind of scary. Well, Ben, what do you think? How do we do? We got giddy great early. Episode.
Very, very eclectic. Very eclectic, but like all very interesting stuff. And the cola stuff was all time. can't wait to drink a cola with you guys.
What was your favorite one? Your favorite non-cola, doing the cola one. Which one did you like? I think eating caramels was my favorite. It's just simple and amazing. So unexpected.
I think my favorite was actually, we were just eating spaghetti, kissing in the middle, when all of a sudden...
Me and my co-founder were doing the kissing the spaghetti thing where you each take one end, put it in your mouth, get meat in the middle. And what we realized was that the recession...
Yeah. And then we realized... Yeah, that's a good one. The best part is
like, but the thing about co-founders is, it's like you don't address the first part.
And you got to do this like in a keynote. That's like a product, like a Steve Jobs product announcement. Right.
And never address it and never laugh.
In the office, grabbing each other's butts. And then it hit us. Why stop there? You know?
All right, we're out of here.
This is great.